And turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. That's where we'll be preaching from tonight, Exodus chapter 20. And looking at one verse tonight, amen, looking at one of these, one of the Ten Commandments here. And I've been going through this study here, and we're looking at verse number 7 tonight. And as we've been studying through the book of Exodus, we have followed Moses' life. And if you remember, way back when we were studying through the time when Moses was just a baby, of course, he was living the life of a slave at that time, of course, as a baby there, born into a slave family. And we followed him from there to the life of royalty, from the life of royalty to the life of a murderer, from the life of a murderer to the life of a shepherd, from the life of a shepherd to the life of a complainer, from the life of a complainer to the life of a deliverer, from the life of a deliverer to the life of a leader, and from the life of a leader to the life of a preacher, and that's where we are now. He's had a lot of transitions in his life. Sounds a lot like a lot of us, doesn't it? Different things in life, different things we go through, different struggles, different heartaches. We've got ups, we've got downs, we've got valleys, we've got mountains, we've got storms, we've got calm waters, we've got all kinds of things going on. But tonight, as we are here in Exodus chapter 20, here in verse 7, we are going to be discussing this this commandment here. And notice verse 7, it says this: "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." That is a pretty straightforward verse, isn't it? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And then it says that the Lord will not hold him guiltless. Think about that. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. And Lord, we do thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we do thank you for your name. Lord, we know that it is a name above every name. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I do pray that you would help each and every one of us to draw closer to you tonight. Lord, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth would just be honoring and pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you would just guide and direct my thoughts and my words. And Lord, I pray that we would just see exactly how we should treat your name. Lord, I pray again that if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, they'd come to know you tonight. And Lord, just again, thank you so much for your name. Thank you for what that name means to each and every one of us that are saved. And Lord, we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here in this passage that we're reading tonight, of course, it is, we've been reading that Moses, he's been going back and forth with God. He's been speaking to God, and God has been speaking to him there on Mount Sinai. And that's where we are right now. And last time we were in this book, we discussed the first two commandments. And those commandments were, of course, the ones that were dealing with who God is and how we should see him. Notice there in verse 3 and 4, notice, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or the likeness of anything." And of course, we were talking in verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." And then we get to verse 7, and notice, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." So we go through these first two commandments, and he's telling them exactly who he is, and that he's a jealous God, and we should not have any other gods above him. We should not bow ourselves down to any other god. It says any graven image, the likeness of anything that has to do with that. He says, do not do those things. And then he says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And if you were unable to hear the messages that we've preached so far through Exodus, of course, you can hear those on sermon audio, at least the last few there. And then we have the audio from the other ones as well. Feel free to go there and listen and catch up to where we are in the book of Exodus. But tonight, we're here, and Lord willing, we will have a greater understanding of this commandment about the name of the Lord God, and not taking it in vain. Hopefully we'll have a greater understanding of that tonight. So I'd like to preach to you a message tonight that I've entitled this: Speaking the Name of your God. Speaking the name of your God. And each and every one of us, we could say, speaking the name of my God. Because if we're saved here tonight, then he is not just their God. No, he is our God. He is our Father. He is the one who died for us, and praise the Lord for that. So speaking the name of your God. First of all, notice tonight the prohibiting in the commandment. The prohibiting in the commandment. You know, as we read passages that are written like this one here, it's easy for us to see the thou shalt not, isn't it? It's easy for us to read down through the Ten Commandments and say, okay, it's easy here because it says thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do this. You are to remember the Sabbath day, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. And those are verses that we would say are crystal clear from God's Word. It's easy for us to point out that others who are breaking this commandment are in violation of God's law. But when it comes to our own lives, we are guilty so often, yet we fail to see our guilt. One thing that I have said many times is a statement by a man who said this. He said, taking the name of the Lord God in vain is whenever you have his name on your lips, but his name is not in your heart. Just saying it is just some name. This is done by believers and unbelievers alike. This is done by pastors and done by teachers. It's done by laymen as well. We will often be guilty of speaking the name of God without recognizing the power in the name that we're speaking. You see, we would say, well, God's name, this name of God, this is the name above every name. That is who we are talking about. That's the God that we serve. But so many times we will say the name of Jesus, we'll say the name of God, we will say our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're saying it as a filler word. Lord, help us. Because his name is above every name, and we should treat it as such. When we say the name of God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ, when we speak that name, we should know exactly what name is on our lips. You know, I don't like to be around someone who is cursing, and isn't it true that when we are maybe in the store or wherever we may be and we hear somebody say a curse word, oftentimes we as believers will feel uncomfortable because of what they just said. I don't like to be around that, and if someone is in our home and they curse, and we would often say something like, hey, watch your language. Hey, watch your mouth. We'll say things like that. Why? Because we don't want to hear that. When I was a young boy, I wanted to be like my big brothers, my foster brothers. And they, of course, came from a pretty rough life, and they had some baggage that came with them, and more than just the suitcase they had. They had some things that they had learned as they were living in downtown San Francisco. And one of those things was a dirty mouth. And these boys, well, they came in there, and I looked at them as my big brothers, and I wanted to be just like them, and I wanted to say what they said. I wanted to do exactly what they were doing. Why? Because I wanted to be cool. Well, that also came to the words that they said. But one day, as we were sitting at the table, I decided to let one of those words come out of my mouth. It's amazing I'm still standing here today. Because my mom wanted to smack me away from the table. Now, I was just a little boy. But I wanted to be like my big brothers. And they said this, and they were cool. So I could say it as well. Well, I can remember my mom getting up and walking over to the sink and grabbing the bottle of Dawn dish soap and coming over to me and saying, open your mouth. So I opened my mouth. She sprayed the Dawn dish soap in my mouth. And she said, now swish it around and then go spit it in the sink. So I did. I'll never forget that. Ever. I can still taste it today. It was the blue Dawn dish soap, too. Not that it left an impression on me or anything, but that's exactly the color that it was. But I can remember as my big brothers, as I thought that they were cool, And I did that, and of course I paid the consequences. Well, after that, I can remember them continuing to curse, and it went from Dawn dish soap to taking a bite out of a bar of soap, which was even worse because it was that greasy type feeling in your mouth. Praise the Lord, I never had to deal with that one, but they did, amen. But I can remember as my mom would hear that one of them was not acting right in school, she told him that if she heard one more time that he wasn't sitting still in class, that she would go into his English class and he would sit on her lap at his desk during the class. She never had another issue out of him after that. She knew, or he knew that she was not messing around. He didn't act up again, amen. But praise the Lord for parents who discipline, because it keeps you out of a lot of trouble. It didn't keep me out of all trouble just because I was stubborn, but I'll never forget that soap. But the truth is, we hear a curse word and we feel uncomfortable. When we hear a curse word, oftentimes it just does something to us and we don't want to be around that. But when someone takes the name of the Lord in vain, oftentimes we, even as believers, think, well, it's not really a curse word. It's just not something that's nice to say. And many believers have gotten used to it. We've gotten comfortable with it to the point where it's even taken in vain in many churches today, because we don't see God for who He truly is. It's something that God prohibits from anyone, but especially from the child of God. Lord, help us to never take Your name in vain. This is a sin that is committed in this world today, and even in churches, the name of God as a whole is disregarded by the world, and I believe that this is largely because of the dumbing down of the thought of God that we see in society today. People look at Him as just a mystical figure, just something that only the weak need. That's what people see God as, but He's so much more than that. Why is this world looking down upon God? Because so-called believers for so long have looked down upon God. Those of us that claim to be believers, many have not stood for the things that we should stand for. We've caved under the pressure. As we consider this thought tonight, it's important for us as believers to understand the details of this command here. Notice here in verse 7, it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." The word vain, it means this, it means emptiness. And I want you to think to yourself, because each and every one of us are guilty of this. How many times do we say the word of God as an empty word? How many times do we just say it as, praise God, but we're not truly praising God with our heart? It's just something we say because, well, it just sounds right. How many times is it empty? Just to say the name of God is just a filler word. To use it as just another word in our vocabulary. The name of God is so much more than that. It's not to be used as just a filler word. It's not to be used as just an empty word. It is a name that is above every name, and it should be regarded as such in every one of our lives. Whenever we hear someone take the name of our God in vain, it should do something to us, because that's our God that they're talking about. That's our God that they're disregarding. We would all stand up for our family members and friends if someone was talking bad about them or degrading them, but many believers will not stand up for the name of God, but many will use His name in vain as well. Lord, help us. And we feel as though we can substitute a different word, simply because I didn't take the name of God in vain. But many believers try to see how close they can get to where it sounds like that. And we're just as guilty of taking His name in vain. We say, well, it's one or two letters off. It sounds like it, but it's not the name of God. We think we're doing okay, but in reality, we're taking His name in vain. The name of God is above every name. I want to read you some verses here. And it'd be good for each and every one of us just to jot these verses down if you can. And just it just reminds us who we are talking about. Notice Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Notice Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of God. That's Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There's Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial for all generations. Notice, the Lord God of your fathers. That's who we're talking about here. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 21. Notice it says, therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. It's Jeremiah 16, 21. Notice Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah 42:8. Isaiah 52:6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Isaiah 52:6. Revelations 1 in verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. See, that's the name of our God, Revelations 1, chapter 8. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. Notice Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. That's Exodus 34 and verse 14. Notice Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4 and 5. Notice it says, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If thou canst tell, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 4 and 5. And that's just a few of the verses that talk about the name of our God. You see, the name of our God is one that should be praised. But many times, even from ones that call themselves His children, instead of praising His name, they degrade His name. Instead of praising His name, they take His name in vain. See, we'll complain many times about what this world's view is of God and how they disregard the name of God and His existence, but yet His name is blasphemed in His house as well. We as believers, for too long, we have disregarded the name of our God. We have said, praise the Lord, when we do not truly mean it, when our heart attitude is somewhere else. Lord, help us to regard your name. Help us to worship God for who He truly is. God is our salvation. He is our provider. He is our rock. He is our defense. He is a strong and a mighty tower. That is our God, and He is a jealous God. Here in our passage, notice, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I want you to notice there in verse 7 when it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, this is not a God of just the rest of the world. He's saying, this is the Lord thy God. And every time we take his name in vain, we're taking the name of our God in vain. This is a commandment that many people look over. If someone was guilty of murder, or someone was guilty of adultery, or theft, or something like that, we would say, they are living in sin. There's no way that they're right with God, because look what they're doing. But this is just as much a commandment as the rest of them here. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In this passage here, we are commanded to not use God's name as just an empty word, but rather as a name that is above every name. We are to see that He is, as the prophet Isaiah declared, He is holy, holy, holy. He is the Lord God. Is that who God is to you and me? Do others know, because of the way that we speak of our God, do they know that that's who God is to us? Do they see that we speak exactly like they do? We take God's name in vain. Well, they do it, and they're Christians. Other people are not to be our standard. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be our standard. The Word of God. And the Word of God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. First of all, we saw the prohibiting in the command. The prohibiting in the command. Second of all, notice the punishment in the command. Only 2 points tonight, amen? Just two. But here, notice the end of this verse. It says, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You know, we see here that this is a area of concern, if you will. This is a sin in which God immediately declares the judgment for the sin. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Micah. The book of Micah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Hold your hand there in the book of Micah. We'll be in the sixth chapter. But Micah is of course, it's what we consider a minor prophet, not because the prophecy was smaller than any other prophecy, but because the scope of the prophecy is why we call it a minor prophet. And then we have the major prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and those types of ones there. But Micah, he is, of course, one of the minor prophets here. And the book of Micah is a book that shows the sin of Israel against God. And then it lays out in detail the punishment for that sin. It also discusses the eventual restoration of Israel as well. And the name Micah, it means this: who is like unto Jehovah? That's what his name means. It's a good name. It's a strong name. Micah was a man who was prophesying at the same time as the prophet Isaiah and also the prophet Hosea. They were all contemporaries, if you will, prophesying at the same time. And in this prophecy here, he describes the sin, and he also describes the punishment for that sin. And as you study Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, which is what we're reading tonight, notice I'll read the end of that verse there. It says, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. As you study that verse, the punishment that is discussed there is the same punishment we see that God is declaring in Micah chapter 6 and verse 9 through 12. Micah chapter 6 and verse 9 through 12. Notice the Bible says this: the Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. And then notice there, starting in verse 13, therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins. That's the punishment that God is speaking of in the book of Exodus. He says he's going to make them desolate because of their sins. You see, taking the name of our Lord God in vain is a serious offense. Now, it is not a offense that is a greater sin than another. No, all sin is sin in God's eyes. But there's a punishment here in the book of Micah, and that is a punishment that God is describing also for the ones who take his name in vain. Notice it says in Exodus chapter 20, it says that the Lord will not hold him guiltless. The word Lord there is speaking of Jehovah, and when someone takes the name of God in vain, though the world is accepting of it, though the world promotes the blaspheming of God and all of those things, though the world will not hold you accountable for this crime, the Lord God will find you guilty of this crime. Micah says that it is an abomination. Turn over, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy. We find this word abomination again over in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 25 is where we're going. Deuteronomy chapter 25. I'm going to be reading verse 13 through 16. Notice, as we were over in the book of Micah, it talked about the sin being an abomination. And of course, that sin that was an abomination there, the punishment for that sin is the same punishment we see in Exodus chapter 20 for taking the Lord's name in vain. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 25, notice verse 13 through 16. Notice it says, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small, but thou shalt have the perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And notice, "For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now notice there, it doesn't say only the ones who do certain sins. No, it says, "For all that do such things, and all that do," what's that next word? "Unrighteously." That's sinning against God. It says they are an abomination unto the Lord, and then there it is again, thy God. The Hebrew word for abominable and an abomination, it means disgusting morally. It means an abhorrence. It's the same definition given under idolatry. When you study the Word of God, it brings things to light that, and you'll find that just in these passages here, even though we as human beings, we see it as not a big deal, the Bible equates taking the name of the Lord God in vain. It equates that with the sin of idolatry. Now, we would say, I would never bow myself down to anything. No, because the book of Exodus, it says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them." But if we take the name of the Lord God in vain, it's saying we're just as guilty as bowing down to an idol. We're guilty of idolatry for the simple fact of we're not seeing God for who He truly is. And if God is not the God of our life, you can mark my word that something else is. Who's the God of our life? The Bible says that it's an abomination, it's immoral, it's disgusting, it is sin, taking the name of our God in vain. But it's something this world just glosses over, doesn't it? It's something this world just says, well, it's no big deal. It's just a word. It's just something that everybody says. And you can see as you watch this world in the downgrade. First, it's starting out with what we would consider a small sin. Well, a lie is okay. And now we're to millions of babies being aborted, and it's not called murder. Why? All because people are following the world standard of good. They're following the world standard of right and wrong. But if I'm not mistaken, the Bible says that that's what's going to happen. They're going to call good evil and evil good. Lord, help us as believers to not be guilty of taking His name in vain. Help us to stand up for the name of our God. When you speak the name of your God, you know, there's sometimes this should bring you to tears thinking about who God is. There's times where it'll be coming from praise in our hearts because of who God is. And when we speak the name of our God, people should know that we're speaking about someone that rules and reigns in our life. But that'll only be possible if we're not taking His name in vain. We're not using it as just an empty word, as just a filler word. So when you speak the name of your God, we should take it seriously. Amen? Let's pray.